I'm Andrea Splendori of the Social Fabric podcast, and this is part 3 of Lean On Me, a documentary about our Mindful West Run across Ireland. 240 kilometers for mental health awareness and to raise funds for A Lust for Life and Crumlin Children's Hospital. For more information, visit andreasplendori.com or subscribe to Social Fabric podcast. Once when faced with darkness, there was a place we always ran. I'm not sure if I can find it again, and I'm doing the best that I can, the best that I can. We haven't actually licked and that's Ross Thompson receiving his award on the last night.
All I can say is you all haven't licked. That's all I'd say, because we've had an amazing... Okay, it's not all I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say. We've had an amazing few days. I said it on a video earlier that it's never about the running. Andrea and I've said that many times. The goal was to bring people together. The goal was to raise money for charity. We have 34,340. We're all sitting very comfortably, and we just rocked up at the last minute, screecher breaks, handbrake turns into hotels for the last 2 nights, because it was all done for us.
Organizing a 3-day run for 18 people takes some serious logistics. Hotels, camper van, food. Ken Kennedy simply asked all the participants to pay into a kitty a few months before. After that, we just started to show up and everything was organized.
Get me started. Oh, Jesus. On last. Anyway,
we all know where the body is.
I think we've all talked about it, we've all said it over, but it's just what a fantastic occasion to get so many people together that have a common purpose. To raise funds for charity, have a bit of crack, a bit of pain,
a little bit of stuff.
We've all challenged ourselves, we've all reached to further where we thought we'd be, and isn't that just fantastic?
Yeah.
So, thank you all for coming together, and thank you all for contributing, thank you all for having such a blast. And I know, Owen, you came in at the last minute, and it, what a fucking difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
fantastic. Yeah, thank you.
Listen, enjoy your night. Have the crack, have a few beers, and we'll all come around this
time next
year. Andrea for the logo for ages, and he would not send it to me. I asked you 10 times to send it to him, and he wouldn't send it to me because I needed to get this done by the joinery department in Sisk, who were going to make it specially for this weekend.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I think you... As the genesis of the whole idea, I think it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, so, well on your mind.
Yeah. One of the key ingredients of our running together has always been the laughter and the slagging.
Nominees for this
and the award ceremony, organized by Ken and Ross, did just that.
They both had the same Christian name. But the best hip flexor award is Chris O'Mahon. Yeah!
I think myself and Liam would like to have been a 2-day event.
What can I say? You say everything. No, I was thinking today that everybody that's actually came here, they really exceeded the expectation for themselves, I think. So many of you have really done that, and actually some of me and Ross and George just done what we thought we were going to do. Everybody else just escalated what they have done before.
It's just been an amazing experience. You guys, the girls, hats off, unbelievable. Sheila, 4:45 this morning, doing your thing, getting breakfast ready.
Magic.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Owen, I think Owen is an unsung hero.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Protecting us on the roads, what a guy. Just little things, just kind of watch out, slow down. Good man, thank you. Brilliant. Guys, I love yous all.
Yeah.
The award ceremony on the last night was the perfect release valve for all of the emotions, tiredness, and to take stock of what everyone around those tables had achieved. And let's not forget Fabio and Owen. Fabio did a mix of running and cycling, Owen cycled alongside us all the way, and on the Sunday morning hopped on the bike and went all the way back to Greystones.
Thank you so much. I really didn't expect one for me. Which is, do you know what, for me, it is like a small homage to what you guys have done. People talk about amazing experiences, and you see, you know, people at awards and stuff, and things are amazing. This was genuinely amazing. So many angles that you couldn't even predict. It was just amazing. I'm going to take so much away from this. A sore arse, particularly. A new saddle. But the last thing I'm going to say is what was going along, and Alan reminded me of it. He reminded me of it when he spoke tonight, and he reminded me of it when I said, yay, I'm going to cycle to Galway, and it's going to be the buzz, and it's going to be excellent. It was this monster of a machine of fundraising that was going on in the background that was not to the fore of our minds, because all we could do was see if we could make the next 10k or the next 15k. But the good that has been done by the work, the running that everybody is doing, is just surreal. You know, it's just surreal, and it's going to improve and change the lives of so many people that we don't even know. We've done this stuff, we've had the crack doing it, and it's improved other people's lives. I just can't think of anything.
The build-up to the finish line was a mix of excitement, fear, and delirium.
You going?
Are you joking?
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
This was about 6 kilometers from the end line, 234 kilometers behind us. When the body is telling you that that's enough, your brain kicks in, the endorphins blast through the system, and you're literally up and running again.
So, Colin, tell us about your experience so far.
Oh, what do you want to know?
I don't know. Where are you at? So we're at 18k to go. Mm-hmm. You've done 22 today. You did two marathons yesterday and the day before.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuffing your face with some bars. That's okay.
Oh, it's been inspirational. A life changer, it really is. Great people. Great scenery along the way. Some dodgy roads, of course, but that's okay. Great food. Great setup. Just wonderful.
Did you have to dig deep for your marathons?
Oh yeah. Yesterday was a long draw. Yeah. Looking at the main guys, they're miles ahead of us. It's been a special trip, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's just amazing the whole, all the support, like everywhere. Every time you open the phone, there's hundreds of messages. I think we're nearly at 34 grand now.
Are we 34?
Brilliant. Well, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, started off with one idea, and here we are.
And actually, I think you started. You said we do Salt Hill to Shankill. Sorry, Shankill to Salt Hill.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then we said, we do Greystones to Galway.
G to G.
Mine was G to G. That's right.
That was it, and away we went.
And that's it. Here we are now.
You are the mastermind behind this.
Oh no, I wouldn't say that.
But Tony, so you've just done another, I think, 50 something kilometers.
Yeah.
How's the bod?
The bod is getting there, but it's
not every day people run a marathon. And we're just about to cross the marathon line. You and the dock here. Oh. And then, of course, Chris.
Third marathon.
300.
Karen, third marathon. Colin, third marathon.
Third.
Barry, third. 35k. Beautiful. So, nearly there now. 200 meters. You have it. So, just while Sheila thinks about the last 200 meters, Sheila's also known as Sheila. I'm only doing 10k Nolan. And she's now run.
I did my first half marathon.
Give me a count.
She did first. And, first half marathon the first day. Then?
No, first half marathon yesterday.
Okay.
35k the first day.
Oh yeah, there you go. Sorry.
It's been a nice stretch. This.
Yeah. And now the full marathon. It looks like there's a little bridge there we can stop.
Okay.
Well, is that it?
150 to go.
Woohoo! Oh, I'll sprint to Liam.
Yeah, sprint to that one.
No. Okay. We'll take time off now.
Nearly there, nearly. You can walk after the mountain. So, beautiful spot. We're in Clarin Bridge. There's a bridge.
Flags are out.
The bridge.
Woo-hoo.
The bridge is where you ran the bridge.
Cool. There are the two lads.
Something dumber. Here.
I wasn't going to say that, but. And now, are we 50?
50.
Woo-hoo. Oh.
I'm finishing at the nursing home.
Oh, no. Yeah. 30.
Oh.
20.
Whoa. Oh.
Okay.
7, 6, 5. Marathon!
And Karen.
Well done, lads and laddies.
I have tried to give you a flavor of what this run meant to all of us. How we pulled together as a group. How we looked after each other before, during, and after the run. I'll go back to Sheila. This is a chat we had a week or so after the run.
For me, it was an incredible experience. It was a real, boost of confidence that I needed, especially just this year. Because I think, and I know you're well aware of this, that I got really bogged down with kind of the anxiety of signing up for this and kind of got caught up with comparing myself to others and thinking that I wouldn't be able for it, I wouldn't be able for the challenge, and that it held everybody back. And I had a lot of, you know, lockdown was kind of challenging, and there was periods where the kind of chatter, the negative chatter in your head kind of overtook all the positivity, and I really got overwhelmed. But I had a chat with you and you were very convincing. And I think I worked through that and kind of sat with all those sort of feelings and came out the other side just saying, okay, well, I'm just going to do what I can do, and I can contribute in some sort of way. So I set off thinking I'd just do a little 10K in the morning and 10K at night. And I managed to do a lot more than that. And for me, I was really proud of myself because I didn't know I had it in me. And it was a big lesson that just to believe in yourself and just not listen to the sort of doubting voices in your mind. But it was also it was such a tick box for mental health. It was everything that we were doing. It was, you know, being in great company, being out in nature, getting exercise, doing all those things that are good for you. But I'd recommend the whole thing. It was just so, there was such a sense of community, of union, unity, companionship, and that sense of support and everybody's little encouragement. It was just so heartwarming for me personally. And, you know, especially because, you know, 2020, like lockdown's been really lonely and not having company around. And I've suddenly been welcomed into a group where there's just constant laughs. Like you'd be running along, you'd be like, I can't go on. And then someone would crack a joke. And next thing you know, that's, you've covered another few kilometers just laughing at the joke. So I think it's so important to not isolate yourself. And I think I'd recommend that, just being part of a sort of the community that was created. I think it's really, really important, especially for someone like myself who's doesn't have a family. Like I have a family, but I don't have kids or a husband or, you know, and it can be quite isolating. And I know that can lead to kind of feelings of loneliness and depression even. So it's very important to get involved in something, get involved in a community that can kind of boost you and then help you along. I think that was a really important part of the challenge. And then also just for your own confidence, for your own feelings of self-worth, to challenge yourself and just to actually see what you are capable of. I think that's like, it's a fantastic opportunity. So yeah, I guess, and then obviously I recommend 3 days of just being out in nature, away from all your phones and TV and the normal distractions, and just to be out running along the canals is so beautiful. So just to immerse yourself in nature, you can't, you know, there's, you can't recommend that more. So
this is George Coffey. You made him in episode
two. There was no egos. There was no, hey, I'm an I great or deadly, or, you know, it was like, Fabio, your colleague, your workmate, Fabio, what a, you know, first of all, I didn't even know who he was when he joined in Inchicore. I was looking at him going, are you a lad we've actually just ran past on the canal? You know, and next minute he explains to me, you know, who he is, and you know, but what a really good guy. He knew none of us. And all of a sudden he's part of the little community we have running along the canal. I think that's amazing, because he'll go away and he'll tell his friends or his family, or he'll tell his colleagues, here, I met these really nice bunch of lunatics and had a great 2 days. And you know, maybe he might, you know, do something then similar, or make someone else pass on the happiness or the goodness.
There is so much that can be achieved as a group, so much that we can all get from one another through honest conversation.
When you're in it, and when you're on the road and everything, and when you're around everybody, that's what you're just thinking about. You know, you're in the moment, and it was a wonderful bubble to be in, to be quite honest, for a couple of days. And there was a great energy about it. And, you know, there was a great sense of, yeah, just that one step at a time, and kind of having the chats and kind of getting each other through. And then you come back and then you see people who weren't, and you're kind of like, oh, and they're going, you did what? And it's only then it starts to sink in, and it's sort of like, did you ever run a marathon before? And it's like, no. So, and then it's by people's reactions and expressions, you kind of go, actually, we really did something quite phenomenal. And, you know, it's not okay, yes, from a physical athletic feat, but it's something more than that, you know, like it's to me anyway. And it's that collective, it's that coming together, and, you know, it's people supporting you so you can do things that you never imagined. So I said to myself, you know what, this is one of those moments in life where you need to really, this is the part where you save at the moment, you know. And so I resisted the temptation. Well, my body was quite happy to, you know, I took a week off from training, from doing anything, just went out for some walks. And I enjoyed talking to people and telling the story about what we've done and what we achieved, and about these two great organizations. So that was great. And, you know, I got a real sense of pride, you know, because it is about changing lives. Because I think as an individual, it definitely changed my life. But it's about, you know, I've said this to you before.
And adding to all that, the small difference that we might have made to children and their families in Crumlin Hospital, awaiting an operation or going through a difficult part of their lives.
We sort of reviewed the service about 3 or 4 years ago because I got a new manager, and he thought it would be better just to focus on one or two specialties and they will have music therapy. But of course that meant withdrawal of service for other areas in the hospital, so that's quite difficult. But sorry, I'm making the answer quite long. But like, yes, I would imagine like the way occupational therapy or physiotherapy, like rheumatology, that team, they'll have their doctors or consultants.
Anya Moherich and Susan Hurley, music therapists in Crumlin Hospital.
Speech and language therapist. They don't have a music therapist, but they should have one. So each team, I think, should have a music therapist, the way they have all the other health and social care professions. So in my head, you'd be looking at maybe 12 or 13 full-time posts. So you've got one music therapist for each team, so that you can do very dedicated work. You could go and see a child 2 or 3 times a week, especially in a rehab situation where they might need that extra intervention. So in the dream, yeah, 12 or 13 full-time therapists, each belonging to a team, each working with the team. So you're never like, I suppose people think we're down there on our own, like, but we're always feeding back to the team. Mm-hmm. The nurses know what we're at, and back to the consultants as well, so that they're fully aware of what's going on and what's been helpful for the child. And even then, like I've seen in the notes, like one of the consultants might have seen that they liked a particular song, and then you'll get the doctor going in and saying, oh, I heard you love so-and-so, and start
and they're bringing music into the room as well, so it can spread that way also.
Fabulous. It's difficult at the moment because the service is so limited, and we would get referrals from specialties that we can't take them, and it's kind of devastating sometimes because it could be coming. We try our best, obviously, in every situation, especially with palliative care, for example. There'd be crossover between my hematology and oncology patients and palliative care, and likewise with some of Anya's patients in neurology, and I also work in the transitional care unit. But then there's, say, the Children's Heart Centre, the cardiology team. They are a huge ward, and you know, they look after so many children. It's like 1 in 100 children are born with a heart defect in Ireland, and the need is massive there. And at the moment, we don't have any service for cardiology, so we're it's tough sometimes, but we're so grateful for the donation, and hopefully we can help. It will help us develop the service further.
Yeah.
And tell me something. How many music therapies?
Or to a young adult that might find it difficult in school, or with their peers, with the pressure of everyday's life.
Besides, because it's funny now, because what has happened in this world where we've become so interconnected is we've created this culture of individualism where we've become so caught up with our own kind of needs, which is fine, and I understand that we start to miss that there's people around us that we're interconnected with, whether we know it or not. And for example, the work that we would do with A Lust for Life, you know, it makes me happy to know that this has been valued by other people. It does make me happy. It makes me happy that when Paula, you know, and myself and Colin, when we started to build this into an organization, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't like it was a fruitful journey, but it wasn't an enjoyable one because it was so overwhelming and stressful and difficult. And there's no point in pretending otherwise. But what kept us going, I think, was the fact that we knew this was bringing something to other people. We knew other people were valuing it in a way. We knew that it was becoming some form of guiding light for people who felt a bit lost. We knew that we had a kind of a mission that we wanted to get into schools.
Niall Bracely, a.k.a. Bracey, co-founder of Lust for Life.
Feel good. It actually is a huge motivating force when you're kind of going, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to keep, like, how are we going to even just pay basic stuff with the setting up, even trying to get charity status, the work it took to do that? And I don't think people see that generally in... They think that it's you tick a box and you're in. It's such a process. But for me, that is our driving force. It's the fact that this makes other people happy. And there has been times personally where happiness has evaded me for no reason. Obviously, I've dealt a lot with my mental health, and that was used to be the most frustrating part. I used to, only way I could find happiness was in other people. Luckily, I have went in the journey where I can find my own, and I can sit with myself and be proud of myself and actually think I'm like, that took a lot of work. But in the meantime, the interim period that I didn't have that, the ability to know other people around me that I loved were happy was all I needed to keep me going. I think you're onto something there with not just relationships, but happiness, because happiness always we feel is us. Are we happy? But actually, is our environment happy? Are the people we around comfortable? And I think you really hit on that's something on World Mental Health Day that I haven't really heard said. Happiness is not just a one-man journey.
We are just a group of friends that keep coming up with ideas like the Mindful West Run for a number of simple reasons. It strengthened the social fabric of our group and our community as a whole. It creates bonds and memories that no money can buy. It keeps us fit, but with the added value of a really good crack, and that's Irish for fun. It gives us purpose and meaning. It gets us outdoor, and it keeps the conversation going. There's no need to run 240 kilometers. There is no need to run 1 kilometer. Find what you love doing. Find people that might be interested in doing the same. Talk to one another, and most importantly, listen to one another. It's amazing what we can do if it's coming from the right place and for the right reasons. You've been listening to Lean On Me, the story of the Mindful West Run. I'm Andrea Splendori of the Social Fabric Podcast. This program was created by me and co-produced by Kira Connor-Walsh of A Lost for Life. While I try to record everyone's voice and story, some got more airtime than others. I'm doing the best that I can. The runners were Ross Thompson, Ken Kennedy, Sheila Nolan, Colin Fulham, Alan O'Connor, Barry Dempsey, Karen Kelly, Patrick Alberson, Mark Donnelly, Liam Sweeney, Tony Lovera, Fabio Garganego, Carl Llewellyn, Chris O'Mahony, George Coffey, Chris Willoughby, Kevin Marshall, and Keith McCabe. And our cycling supporting team, Owen O'Mahony. We were joined on the first day by young Matthew McConnell, and on the last day by Galen English. We would like to thank again all of our supporters. There were over 400 individuals, and the company that sponsored us. Sisk, Kambuka Ireland, Microsoft Ireland, Dell Financial Services, and JP Egerty. The total amount donated was €43,094, split between A Lust for Life and Crumlin Hospital. The music was kindly supplied by Fiacna Hobrinan, Slow Gallop, Robert Callan, aka Nevada, with Stars, and The Field, Best That I Can. Take care and have a conversation. Sure, there's no harm in having a chat.